Tat.
Therefore.
Yata.
As. Vrikshaha. A tree.
Unmulaha.
Being uprooted.
Shushite.
Rise up.
Udvartite.
Falls down.
Achidat.
Very soon.
Evam.
In this way.
Nasta.
Lost.
Anritaha.
Temporary body.
Satya.
Immediately.
Atma.
The body.
Shushyet.
Rise up.
Na.
Not.
Sanshayaha.
Any doubts? It's a translation. When a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down and begins to dry up. Similarly, if one doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. So you repeat. When a tree is uprooted,
it immediately falls down
and begins to dry up.
Similarly,
if one doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. Interesting. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this regard, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Prapancha kataya bhutyari sambandhi vastunaha umukshve bhutyago vairagyam phalu katite. One who rejects things without knowledge of their relationship to Krishna is incomplete in his renunciation. Bhakti Prasamrita Sindhu 1-266. When the body is engaged in the service of the Lord, one should not consider the body material. Sometimes the spiritual body of the spiritual master is misunderstood. But Srila Rupa Goswami instructs, Prapancha kataya bhutya hri sambandhi vastunaha. The body fully engaged in Krishna's service should not be neglected as material. One who does neglect it is false in his renunciation. If the body is not properly maintained, it falls down and dries up like an uprooted tree from which flowers and fruits can no longer be obtained. The Vedas therefore enjoin, Om iti satyam nityananda ratam tad itat pushpam phalam vacho yat satyam vaheshvaro yashasvi kalyana kirti valita pushpam ipalam vachaha satyam padat yatam mulam vacho yat anutam yat yata vriksha avir mulaha shushati sa udvargata ivam evan ritam vadan avir mulam atmanam karoti na shushati sa udvartate tasmat anritam na vadet vayeta tve tena. Everyone understands that. The purport is that activities performed with the help of the body for the satisfaction of the absolute truth, Om Tat Sat, are never temporary, although performed by the temporary body. Indeed, such activities are everlasting, therefore the body should be properly cared for because the body is temporary, not permanent. One cannot expose the body to being devoured by a tiger or killed by an enemy. All precautions should be taken to protect the body. Interesting. Okay. Tanyata vriksha hunhula shushyat yud vartate chidat evam nashtan ritha sudyo atma shushena sang shayaha. So, om ganatim dandasha ganam shana shlakya chakshunam nikam yena tasmai shivay namaha. So, of course, we do hear in the Bhagavad Gita, Nasato vijite bhavo na bhavo vijite sataha ubiyarapi krishna antvas tvanyos tatva darshini, that the sages, tatva darshis, that means to see the truth, or see the essence of things, they consider those things that are temporary, unreal, and those things that continue to exist, they're real or important. So, obviously, the body is temporary. I mean, we know this. I was talking to some Christians yesterday who came to the temple. And we were talking about the true equality of all living entities and talking about it in relationship to the political scene in America now, political, moral, ethical scene in America, where there's, you know, a lot of racism and sexism and speciesism and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was explaining that we're not the body. So we're not white, black, purple. Of course, they did ask me, have you ever seen a purple person? Sometimes if someone's asphyxiated. So I was explaining we're not the body, and then I gave a simple explanation about the Bhagavad Gita, you know. Deinos minyatate. Hey, you know, we're just changing bodies. I said, once upon a time, many years ago, I had a little baby's body. Now I have an old whatever body. So, we're different. And so, you know, basically, they understood, which is really interesting. We heard a visit from another church, some pastors or youth pastors from another church. So, the body's changing. It's temporary. So, what's the use of something that's temporary? And that's a good question. So, we have to understand several things. First of all, even if things are temporary and unreal in that sense, they exist. It's not that they're unreal in every sense. They're unreal in an eternal sense. In other words, they don't continue to exist. But, it's real, the body, and as we know from the Upanishad, Ishavasam idam saram yakin cha jagajam jagat tani chena pachena punjara magrathas tashis vitanam. Everything is owned by Krishna. So it's Krishna's property. Just like everything else in this material world is Krishna's property. So we're not just talking about the body. Everything. You know, whether we're talking about this chair or the temple, we have to become more aware how everything belongs to Krishna. And not misuse anything or mistreat anything. Just like yesterday I was driving my car. Even at my age I can drive. So I was driving, you know, sometimes disciples say, you actually drive? Wow, that's amazing. My mother drives and she's 90 years old. So I was driving my car and then I saw some of Krishna's property on the road and I picked it up. Not that, you know, I saw something that didn't belong to the temple. If I picked it up, then I'd be a thief and I'd go to jail. So I picked it, you know, like the signs, these signs for the last two or three days, even after, although Jamasmi is over, they were on the road, they cost money. So, you know, I was taking time out of my job today to pick the signs up and things that could have gotten stolen and things like that. So there's awareness of what belongs to Krishna, protecting Krishna's property. Prabhupada was like that in many ways. Of course, we told the story the other day about Prabhupada when he would see someone leaving the fan or the lights on the room his clothes, Prabhupada would get very, very angry. And Prabhupada was specifically protecting Krishna's financial property in many ways. I think most of you know that when Prabhupada was starting the Krishna consciousness movement in India, Prabhupada was always one of the signatories on the checks. It's amazing. I mean, because that meant in those days, of course, there wasn't the internet, you could do things online. That meant that devotees had to send Prabhupada a check through the mail. Amazing. Through the mail, and you know, Indian mail is not that reliable. I mean, it's just like, sometimes they, it's a joke in India, but sometimes they say, you know, there's the trash bin, which happens to be in the, you know, the mailbox, so anyway. You just throw it in the mailbox, and nobody can say. Anyway, so Prabhupada insisted on signing basically all the checks, the instruction, and everything like that. And so Prabhupada, the point is that Prabhupada was protecting Krishna's property. So this is a very interesting, important point for us to understand how everything is Krishna's property. But specifically here in this verse, we're finding described the body. That if you neglect the body, and here Shukracharya, of course, is indicating that if two things. First of all, Pali Maharaj gives everything to Lord Dhammadev, he won't have anything for himself, and his own bodily existence will be threatened. But ultimately, Shukracharya is thinking of himself. He's thinking, if he gives everything, if Pali Maharaj gives everything to Dhammadev, there won't be anything left for me, and I'll dry up. So you have to understand his mentality behind this whole statement. You know, sometimes people preach philosophy, but it's also important to understand what is the psychology behind their particular philosophy. In other words, what is the motivation for them saying this? Because Shukracharya is certainly not just interested in Pali Maharaj's welfare. Actually, his primary interest, not, of course, I have to be careful not to criticize Shukracharya, because he is a devotee of some sort. But anyway, his primary interest is, one, protecting his own interests, you know, because, you know, he's getting paid or getting some amenities from Pali Maharaj. And then also another primary interest is getting even with Lord Vishnu and the demigods. You know, so these are his emotional, not needs, but his emotional motivations. Not his needs. I mean, needs are something different. So we have to see if that's the psychology behind it. But apart from that, you know, what he's saying is really true, because if you neglect something, it dries up. Just like sometimes we sit in a particular position and the blood supply gets cut off to a certain part of the body. And, you know, you lose sensation in that part of the body. And if you continue that, that part of the body can actually die. That's one way, it's interesting, that's one way that sometimes people get these little beauty marks on their body. And one way the doctors deal with it is they tie something on it. You know, they put a little rubber band or something around it, or some fishing line, and tie it, and cut the blood supply off. And guess what happens when you cut the blood supply off? It drops off after some time. Give you a hint how to get rid of beauty marks. Anyway, so, interesting what they call beauty marks. So, it's the same thing with the body, that if we neglect things, of course the body will die, or the body will get sick, and we won't be able to do our service. So, we have physical needs. And of course, Krishna in the Gita recognizes, the sixth chapter of the Gita, he says that one cannot be a yogi if one eats too much, eats too little, sleeps too much, or sleeps too little. Sleeps too little means nowadays you get in an automobile accident and die pretty quickly. Like we had happen in our society, like Prabhupada said, anyone who's driving a car for any distance should get at least 8 hours and rest a night. And it's interesting, that same verse, and purport to that verse in the Gita, Prabhupada says anyone who gets more than 6 hours is in the mode of ignorance. So you have to see that many of Prabhupada's instructions are contextual. And then Prabhupada also says if someone eats too much, then they will dream too much in that purport, right? They'll dream too much at night. And when they dream too much, they won't sleep properly or rest properly, so they'll need more sleep. I mean, these are sort of hints. But everything is contextual in Prabhupada's practical instructions. And in, as far as Siddhanta, that's not contextual. Tattva and Siddhanta, different rasas, you know, that's not contextual. That's tattva, you know, that's tattva, that's truth, that's something that always is there. But as far as these other instructions, how much should you sleep? You know, so I remember in the early days of the movement, we took that as a non-contextual, absolute statement, and nobody was allowed to sleep more than 6 hours a night. And if God forbid you were to take a nap in the middle of the day, you know, you're in Maya. I remember one time I was in one particular farm community, it should be nameless. It's in West Virginia, but I won't mention the name. And I had a high fever and I was resting, and the temple president, who should remain nameless, he kicked me. He said, "Get up! You're in Maya, you're an illusion." I said, "I have a fever." "Get up." So that was an improper understanding of Prabhupada's instruction. You know, Prabhupada really wanted us to be practical insofar as applying his instruction. So that, therefore I said, you know, that when Prabhupada did say one has to drive a lot, then 8 hours a night. So what's the use of getting 6 hours a night and dying? Because then you have to spend, what is it, 9 months sleeping or in the womb, and you can't do a damn thing for Krishna. Of course you can hear if your mother happens to be a devotee and she's chanting Krishna's name and she's reading Bhagavatam, then you can still hear. I mean, that's, so you got, the whole point is to maximize service. That's really the why. Oftentimes, we concentrate on the what and the how, and we forget the why. I was thinking about that, you know, in regard to the temple, in regard to our movement. You know, we have, you know, big festivals and everything like that. You know, it's nice, but why? Because we're trying to bring people to Krishna, and so that's really what has to be maximized. Yeah, not decrying big festivals or whatever, but you have, we have to examine the results. Palena pada chiyate. Prabhupada was fond of that too. Palena means fruit. Like they say, Gangapal, which means the fish, the fruit of the Ganga. Right? Gangapal. That's interesting. So, palena pada chiyate means you judge something by the results. So we always have to see what is the reason. Like, I mean, what's the reason for reducing the sleep? To torture you so you have to pinch your body all the time like I did in the early days of the movement to stay awake during Bhagavatam class? No. The purpose of austerity is to maximize your Krishna. The purpose of economy is not to eat less. You know, devotees look at the, and everyone, they look at the, you know, the how and the what, but they forget the why. You know, why is a codicil there? Well, to increase your hearing and chanting. Why is that there? Connect you more with Krishna. You understand? So even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, understanding the why perfectly, when devotees were sent out to preach, and because they were in Bengal, and Bengali devotees considered, you know, not eating rice to be death, basically. They eat rice like 3 or 4 times a day, you know, white cheap Korean white rice anyway. And so he fed them rice because he understood the why of the policy. But oftentimes we get into all these little rituals. You know. I'm not saying you should eat grains on the codicil. I don't. And no one should, except in emergency. At least between the ages of 8 and 80. And I'm just waiting for 80. Give us a few more years and no more fasting or jamastani and counting down the years. So that's the why. The why of Janmashtami is why. It's increase your hearing, your chanting, your service. That's the why. You know, we should always be going back to the why. So, as far as the body, let's talk about the body, which is something we're really attached to. We want to use the body to the maximum to serve Krishna because it belongs to Krishna. It's Krishna's property. We want to spend all the time polishing the body. Of course, how would you polish the body? Like the typical example of Prabhupada gives is the bird in the cage thing. We used to do that as a play on Sunday. That there was a bird in the cage and someone was polishing the cage and taking care of the cage and admiring the cage and the bird died. But at the same time, you don't want the cage to become all messy. You know, so there's a happy medium between the two. So because the purpose of the cage is to take care of the bird. So the purpose of the body is to engage in Krishna's service and take care of the soul within the body. So then how do we take care of the body? Of course, I mean, we have to examine things in terms of what the psychologists call the hierarchy of needs. You know. Hierarchy of needs means there's a hierarchy, it's like a triangle. And you have the basic needs, like air, you know, we need air. We need space. I remember when I first joined the movement, we had no space. There was, in a room half the size, 30 men were living. Sleeping on the floor. You couldn't even turn over at night. Because if you turned over, you'd commit a mad elephant offense. You'd be kicking a devotee. So, I mean, you need more space than that. So you need a certain amount of space. You need air, light, you know, sunshine. The song goes, let the sunshine. Anyway. So you need sunshine because you need vitamin D. You know, otherwise you get sick, you need exercise. You know, sometimes I see devotees sitting for so many hours. And it's actually dangerous to sit for many hours. I mean, these are scientific facts. Prabhupada did not decry science, scientific facts. You know, sometimes people say, oh, the scientists, everything they say is wrong. No. Prabhupada decried scientism, which means, you know, life comes from matter, that everything is just matter. But Prabhupada went to doctors, Prabhupada used cars, Prabhupada was one of the first people to buy a car. Prabhupada even made jokes about cars, you know. He said, you know, one time there was someone in Calcutta, and he could tell what type of car it is with his eyes closed. And then Prabhupada told a story that someone was dragging some tin cans or something across the street. And Prabhupada said, that's a Ford. And the person said, that's a Ford. Anyway. So Prabhupada bought a car in Calcutta. He gave it to his nephew to drive as a taxi. Taxi business. The Prabhupada was a very practical person. So this is technology. So you need some fresh air, you need sunshine, you need exercise, you need recreation. These are all things that are necessary for the body. And then, of course, another point is you have a subtle body. And there's necessary things to care for that, or else that will dry up. Doesn't mean it will die. Subtle bodies don't die.
But, you know, they'll just become bitter. Like a lemon or something like that.
So then, you know, you say, well, that bitter old bitty. Or something like that. Subtle bodies, you know, what do subtle bodies need? They need, friendship and self-realization and understanding, compassion and autonomy. You know, these are all basic needs of subtle bodies. So, therefore, it's very important to understand and meet those basic needs with the understanding that it belongs to Krishna. Manasa deha veha yogeshwar arbilam tuya pade nandakashwar. My mind, my body, my home, everything is yours, nandakashwar. So it's not our prerogative, it's not within our right to mistreat either a subtle or gross body. It probably makes that very, very clear here. And I'll tell one story where Lord Chaitanya makes that extremely clear. Once upon a time, Sanatana Goswami, on his way to Jagannath Puri, was passing through the Jatakonda forest. And when he was going through the Jatakonda forest, he didn't have the opportunity to eat properly or drink properly, and actually drank water that was contaminated. That's very important too. I was just reading an article yesterday that if let's say if all the electricity stops, there won't be pure water for people, and people are going to get all sorts of diseases and die. You know, half of America will die if electricity stops. Within several months, half of America will die. Anyway, so he drank this contaminated water in the Jatakonda forest, and he had these running sores on his body. And he thought, you know, this is really bad. I'm going to commit suicide. Why was he going to commit suicide? Not because of the pain from the sores, but because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was embracing him. And while he was embracing him, the pus, liquid from the sores, would go over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. And Sanatana Goswami thought, I'm committing a great mad elephant offense. So therefore, I'll commit suicide by putting myself under the wheel of the cart of Lord Jagannath and Rath Yatra. That's a standard method. There's other standard methods of committing suicide in India, like going into the river and drowning yourself. I mean, all sorts of ways to do that. And if you happen to be a yogi, you can do what Sati did. That is, you know, just sit there and inflame yourself, create a flame in your body. So these are different bona fide ways to commit suicide. But we, of course, there's no bona fide way to commit suicide. Really. So Sanatana Goswami is getting ready to put his body under the cart, the wheel of the cart of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu intuited it. He understood it. Somehow, even though Sanatana Goswami didn't tell him, nobody told him. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God. And then he said to Sanatana Goswami several things. He said, if I thought I could achieve Krishna by ending this body, then I would be prepared to commit suicide many, many times, thousands of times, or whatever. And he said, but ultimately you should understand that your body belongs to me. And I have service for you. And, in many things that I cannot do myself, of course, Krishna can do everything. But as Prabhupada said, that Krishna wants to give us the credit for certain things. Prabhupada said that Krishna himself could have spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, made everybody Krishna conscious, and then devotees asked Prabhupada, why didn't he do it? And Prabhupada said, because he wanted to give you the credit. So Sanatana Goswami had the service of Nana Shastra Vichara and Akinipano, perusing the Vedic literatures or revealed scriptures and coming up with Satdharma Samstapako, and also establishing the holy places, and installing deities, and Vrindavan. And had Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami not done their service, we wouldn't be here today. Just like we were talking about Srila Prabhupada. And how without Srila Prabhupada having accomplished this mission, none of us would be here today. None of us would be Krishna conscious. We'd all be lost. Same thing with Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. So Lord Chaitanya said, you know, this is improper. I have many things. And then he said to Jagannatha Pandit, he said, what do you think of someone who wants to destroy someone else's property? What is he? And I forget, like a thief or something like that. I forget the exact expression that was used there. That it's not proper. It's Krishna's property. So the point is, the point I just want to make, is that everything, our body, our mind, everything is Krishna's property. You know, the temple, you know, he sees that. I mean, another thing, I was walking on the temple grounds yesterday and I saw some things that would have gotten damaged had it rained, you know, some electrical stuff. So I pulled it out and put it on the table in the pavilion. You know, just simple electrical, one of those multi-plug things. And, you know, because if it rains, it gets damaged, it's Krishna's property. So we should always be aware of that. And finally, when we're dealing with other people, we should realize they are also Krishna's property. Just like we take care of our body, we take care of our car. Like Prabhupada one time said, if something doesn't belong to someone, then people will neglect it. That's why Prabhupada says that vehicles or cars, that it shouldn't be just a temple car, because nobody will take care of it. And what if the Prabhupada said, proprietorship turns sand to gold? That if it's yours, you take care of it. So it's a temple car. So many temple cars I've seen have gotten completely damaged because nobody changed the oil. And it's always running on empty because nobody wants to put petrol in it. Spend the money, you know, so everything. It's vehicle. So getting back to the point, when we're dealing with other people, we have to consider that they, the soul, is part and parcel of Krishna, and their body and mind belong to Krishna. So we have to deal very, very carefully with others, because that's Krishna's property. And make sure that the devotees have sufficient, let's say, resources for their body and for their mind, and we should treat them with compassion, because devotees, not just devotees, everybody has a need for compassion. Compassion, love, understanding, and avoid doing things that will hurt them or hurt ourselves. Like I talk oftentimes about the four D's of discommunication. You know, demanding things from people, or diagnosing, oh, that brahmachari is spaced out. That's it. Not saying you are. He smoked too much, whatever, ganja. And it's still in his blood. So,
what?
The fourth. Our diagnosis, you know, you put a label on someone, demand, do this, or I curse you. Yes, and in Judaism is called a guilt trip. So, what you say is that if you don't do this, then you're going to give me a heart attack. That's actually interesting. When you demand things from other people, you diagnose them, your denial of their own needs or your own needs or responsibility for something. And fourth one.
Deserve,
yeah, you remember. You deserve to suffer.
yourself, too. I deserve to suffer. You deserve to enjoy. I deserve to enjoy.
And suddenly, these are all disconnecting us from understanding that it's Krishna's property. Other people are Krishna's property. We're Krishna's property. The body is Krishna's property. The temple is Krishna's property. All the paraphernalia is Krishna's property. Everything we bought for Janmashtami is Krishna's property. Anyway, on that happy note, you rascals. Oh, sorry. I was just doing that.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Alright. Jai Radha Gopinanda.